wet pennies.
Wet?
When you go for a piss.
Right.
I feel like now that I'm getting older, I'm just going to have to wear darker trousers or something because it's just...
Wet pennies, I see. Right, okay. Okay.
It's constant wet pennies. But also the fact that it's happening all the time, you get worried that your willy's just loosening up or something. Like, how do you exercise it?
Go to the doctor about it. Wee dots of pish. I'm constantly covered in wee dots of pish. Wet pennies! I've never heard that before.
Really?
No. I don't discuss incontinence very often, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I won't call it incontinence.
No, it's I'm not well, but I mean, I guess we're getting a mild form of incontinence.
Yeah.
There's got to be stages, right? It's not just like you're fine and then one day you're just you're shitting your pants. Like, surely it starts off and you've just got a wee smear and then a wee pebble.
Girlfriend asked me the other day if I've ever shat myself as an adult.
Yeah.
And I haven't.
No, I haven't either.
I came close once, but it was in the call centre we used to work in. I did a fart and a sneeze at the same time.
When was that? You didn't tell me about that.
I farted, which opened everything up, but then I sneezed, which did the push, you know, and ended up puffing. What a way to start. I'm a big sneezer as well. With all the streaming that I've been doing recently, the amount of farting that I'm doing... And like big loud ones as well, and I'm just and I always do them, and then I'll look, they never pick it up.
They're going to start fucking looking out for it now. They'll be like when you watch a baby, you tell from the baby's expression whether or not it's shitting or
when a baby's taking a shit.
And they just do that sort of like concentrating but untroubled sort of look. Like,
that's something you never see. You never see your own face taking a shit, do you?
Yeah, and you'd have to get someone to film you doing it. But secretly, you couldn't, because if you knew it was happening, you'd try to put one on.
You would have to be a secret.
You'd try to put on a smolder like Clark Gable. You'd try to be like the one guy who looks really sexy when he's pushing out a wee fart. You never really imagine George Clooney doing a wee jobby. Imagine when he does, he probably still looks quite elegant.
Aye.
Graceful, if you will.
Jim and Richie talking about Bobies or something. Bobies or something. A lot of Bobies. There's a lot of Bobies. Bobies or something. A lot of Bobies. There's a lot of Bobies or something.
20 minutes of Jim Trinker just wetting himself over the word Bobby and other such things.
I did tell you that story, isn't it? When you were at Video Gamer and I put one of your videos on, I think it was an old Da one or something. Mm-hmm. And my stepdad coming into the room, and I'll be like, "That's what Jim's doing in London." He's like, "What do you mean?" He says, "That's what he's doing. That's his job."
I remember you telling me that story because that character was based on him, and it's fucking incredible. That's why you were showing him, mind? You put it on in front of him to see whether or not he would twig. Wasn't that right? Like. Because I literally said stuff in that video that he had said in real life to you. Yeah. Not everything. Like, he wasn't, like, you know, John's not, like...
It's not 100%, but there's a bit of...
Yeah. There's a lot of artistic license, but there were a few wee lines in there where I just took it verbatim from him.
Yeah. But I just remember being... I was so far... That's his job! I think you were talking about Batman or something. I don't... Which makes it even worse.
Like, yeah, 7 reasons why Batman will never get it up or something like that.
Aye.
7 reasons why Batman will never see the inside of a brassiere. I can't remember the details, but it was something along... But it was basically like, he's clearly a bit smelly in that armour, and that was the entire joke. But it was like, you know, obviously it was a 14-minute video.
You ever do that thing... I mean, I guess you don't because you're not on Twitter anymore, but you ever do that thing, like, it's usually if you ask a question about something like Sonic.
Yeah.
You ask a question about the Sonic lore and you'll get about 5 people popping up and saying, actually, I covered this in this video, and the video will be about 49 minutes long.
I've never had that. I've never had that. I think I'd say something if someone done that to me.
There's a 49-minute video that explains the reason why Sonic the Hedgehog likes chili dogs.
Was it Dave Ballmer?
I asked him a question and a bunch of people popped up.
Because I was going to think, because it's like, it's the kind of thing that Dave Ballmer might have done a 49-minute video about, but he's not the sort of bloke who would answer a simple question with a link to one of his videos, you know? Because he's a nice guy who is self-aware.
This is horrible. I feel like we're just we're doing a lot of like... Getting things off of our chest. This is how our phone calls would normally go. Private phone calls.
Well, this is it. This is like we speak to each other once a month and we record it and publish it. Which is psychotic, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is, eh?
Well, like having what is essentially a fucking space age phone call and then going, we've published the minutes if you want to.
We were talking this the other day. Like, I remember I said to you, like, you think about like Derek and Clive records and how, like, if you actually listen to them, you're like, how the fuck did they get away with this?
Yeah. Like,
podcasting in the 70s was shite.
Yeah. Not like, how did they get away with this in terms of the content, but how did they get away with this in terms of, like, this is
putting
bad.
Out as an album. Yeah, yeah. And that as well.
Yeah, because, like, back then it was podcasting, but you had to literally get it on vinyl.
Somebody's done it.
That's incredible. Can you imagine that? Imagine that. That's what the world used to be like. It'd be like, we'll record ourselves talking for an hour. Mm-hmm. And there's an entire industry of factories that will press that on sheets of plastic.
After we've done this, I'm determined to find out if someone's done it, but there's definitely a podcast on vinyl somewhere.
Oh no, that's been done. There's been a podcast on Wax Cylinder. Oh, fuck. Yeah, man. Podcasts on vinyl is definitely a thing. I don't know. Podcast on Wax Cylinder, that was definitely a thing. It was, I remember watching a YouTube video about it because somebody brought it up in your Discord, actually.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, I saw that link.
What, and it was two Australian guys like screaming into a horn, which was...
What's the storage capacity of a Wax Cylinder?
Storage capacity? Like, could you get Altered Beast on here?
450 meg Wax Cylinder.
But I remember that.
Just imagine going to living room, your mum's lighting it. Mum, no! That's Sonic 3D. I thought it was a mint chocolate candle.
That's Sonic 3D, which is actually a 2D game. Yeah, the Wax Cylinder video was like, if I remember rightly, it was two Australian guys in a garage with a gigantic sort of old-timey kind of brass horn. Mm-hmm. Which sort of tapers right down to a wee needle that's lathing the Wax Cylinder.
Yeah.
In order to make an impression on the wax, they're having to like scream into the... And they're taking turns like screaming into it, right? So they're conducting this conversation like, "Hello, John, I'm in your garage and we've got the wax lathe." And it's basically like Daleks.
Fucking Daleks, yeah.
Yeah.
I have been playing Assassin's Creed.
Entire like 2 hour show about fuck.
Imagine doing a podcast on Wax Cylinder and it's still about video games.
Welcome to Wax Cylinder Gamer. Your one stop shop.
Fucking hell, this is
a one stop shop for
your gaming news, reviews, and. The Mars mission. Reading it last night, and one of the quotes was like, you know, this is the most impressive feat since man landed on the moon. And I was like, oh, is it? Oh, shit. I feel like I should have been watching it or something. But then it was like, I went onto the Twitter account, and it was like, listen to the first audio recorded on Mars.
Wow.
And it was one of those, like, you switch it on, and then you're like, turning the volume right up on your phone, like, there's nothing there making any noise. We were talking about this the other day about how, like, every time... Because there's a few times now they'll be like, we found life out in space, by the way.
Yeah.
Or and then it's always like...
We're about to do a press conference in 3 days and it's going to be about, you know... And it's always something like, we found an impression of a microbe. It might have been... from John's gloves when he picked it up.
Right. But that's the mistake they're making. It's like, we're having a press conference in 24 hours. It's huge. It's big, guys. It's a big one. Mm. It's like, what, you've got radio signals coming from space? You've got, what have you got? Is Independence Day happening? No, we found a puddle.
I don't know anything about this, by the way. So if someone angrily sort of gets back to specifically you on Twitter about it, I do apologize. I'm astonished that it has apparently taken them until now to go, what if we put a fucking microphone on one of these things? But I guess it's quite heavy, right? I mean,
I think they're even surprised that the microphone that's on this one survived the journey.
Yeah.
It kind of blew my mind actually when I was thinking about it, that it's sending video from Mars back here, and that's like 36 million miles. And someone was saying this morning in the Discord that that it has to calculate where the Earth is going to be when the signal arrives. We're sitting last night, I was like, 36 million miles in 11 minutes. And girlfriend Leah was like, is that fast, is it? I was like, well, give me a bit of context. Like, when we're on the motorway, we're doing 70 miles an hour, and that's pretty fast.
She had old dad explaining fucking quantum mechanics or something. You won't be doing that during the M8, will you? Like when we were in college and we were attending a lecture about how sound is recorded, and the guy was like, right, can anyone tell me what hertz are? And the old boy in the class went, you're on our football team. And it was like, that was such a formative moment for young Richie and Jim, I think.
Oh man, it's one of those moments as well, like, do you know when you're a room full of people and one or two people laugh? But like when I remember it absolutely breaking me. And you know that way when you're the one person laughing the guy that made the joke looks at you and smiles.
Like, thanks for the support.
And the lecturer's already like, hi, very good.
That was like the year 2000 equivalent of when someone thanks you for sending them a fucking Ko-Fi tip.
Give me a wee smile.
He could have monetized that if he was now, you know, but...
My wee brother went and did a different course, but it was the same lecture, but I remember him coming back and telling me that he was sitting down to one of his... It feels a bit grand calling them lectures. It's like, he went to the class and Rab went, got a guest speaker in the day. And obviously produces a PA speaker from...
I'm sure he did that in a class I was in as well. That was like part of his set. Mm. Like he was fucking Russell Howard.
I'm going to hit him with a guest speaker chat today.
The guest speaker.
It honestly blew me away when I switched on the audio from Mars and it was silence. I was expecting the gentle rumble of a motorway nearby or something.
Some fucking viral marketing campaign for Simon and Garfunkel. You'd play it back, be like, we've recorded these incredible sounds from Mars.
And you switch it on, it's like, ooh la.
You play it back and there's nothing for ages and you're like, I can't.
Turning it right up and a scientist's voice comes in and goes, you stupid bastard, there's nothing there. Blows out your speakers.
You're sitting listening for ages and it's like, welcome to NASA Gamer. Your one stop shop. I'm a wee probe. And this week I've been playing. I wonder what the wee probe thinks of fucking Werewolf Apocalypse.
I can imagine this being a video game or video and it cuts and you've given the probe a fucking stupid voice and it sounds like it's got a Geordie accent, but you've pitched it up.
I feel far too analysed at the moment. I mean, that is the sort of shit that my old boss Tom would have fucking come out with. I would have got an email from him at like 11:30 going, quick idea for tomorrow. What if the Mars probe really likes Dark Souls? And then I'd have to go and fucking try and imagine what that's like.
Right, do 10 of them. So, I mean, what have you been playing, Jim?
I feel like you've been very mean. Holy kidding.
No, I mean, look, it worked.
It feels almost remiss to sort of go, right, let's do the normal gaming podcast now after we've spent 29 minutes going, podcasts are a load of shit, aren't they?
What is
now
this?
We're gonna go.
Wait, hold on, Jim. You listening? You can hear me. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Just go quiet for a bit. Go quiet for a bit for ages, and then scream, you stupid bastard.
There's nothing here.
It's just two middle-aged men talking about college. 20 years ago, this would have been a phone call, and you'd have had nothing to do with it.
So what have you been playing, Jim?
I don't even know what we're talking about. I was awake until 4 a.m. and I stayed up, right? My partner went to bed. I'm such a bugger for it. I do it every so often where I just go, oh, I'll be with you in about half an hour, and it's never half an hour. It's always like 9 hours later. But I'm not even doing anything. I'm just sitting on the couch on my phone.
Have you still got that rebellious streak where you're like, well, fuck you, I'm not going to sleep.
No.
Now that your parents aren't like, get to your bed, you're like, no, I'm gonna stay up and I'm gonna experience as much of this dark, lonely night as I possibly can.
No.
No?
No, I hate it.
Fair enough.
And I get really annoyed at myself when I end up staying up as well. Like, why have I done this again?
I've totally flipped. Like, I've gone right on the bed by 10:30.
Yeah.
Instantly, I'm one of those bastards as well that's like on the pillow for about 3 seconds and then I'm away.
Man, that sounds incredible.
It's pretty good.
So what have you been playing?
What have I been playing?
You can't even fucking start talking about what you've been playing now. That's now got to be the thing.
I know, it's just weird.
I feel like if we actually started talking about something we'd be playing, we'd have actually sort of abandoned the theme of this episode.
The theme was the fucking theme that we're both really tired.
And I think if we started trying to podcast properly, we would basically compromise the creative integrity of the entire endeavor.
I see. Are you writing an agenda?
Nah. Well, just an aide memoir.
An aide memoir?
What
is this? A fucking Jane Austen novel? I don't know. I couldn't think of what to...
Aye, because Jane Austen was always going on about fucking shiting in Oxters right now. Are we allowed to talk about Dune?
You said you were watching Dune the other day. What version of Dune was it?
Because that's video game adjacent, unfortunately. But we're going to have to just skirt around the edges. I was about to call you Jim there. That's how fucking tired I am. Otherwise...
Wait. What do you mean it's video game adjacent?
Well, because the strategy genre... Oh my God, I'm talking about fucking video games now. That's the worst thing people do on video game podcasts. Is they talk about video games, the most boring fucking subject in the world. It's like how you know how comedy is the most unfunny business on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Dune and Dune 2 and like on the Amiga and all that, it was like the first...
Oh, yeah.
Was it the first real-time strategy?
I don't know, man. You played the Amiga. Game? You were into that shite.
I'll phone Brat, he'll know.
In between fucking shite platformers and rendering Babylon 5.
It's the only two things anyone used an Amiga for, was playing Zool. and making Babylon 5.
Are you actually phoning?
Is he going to dingy me? Is Brat going to dingy me? And ruin this whole bit? Here we go.
Sorry.
You're live!
Oh, is he dinged motherfucker! He's dinged me! He's fucking dinged me!
This is what you get. This
that would have been such
get.
A good bit.
What, asking Chris Pratt about Dune? Aye, you're fucking great.
Aye.
See how you got those numbers?
It would have been the great... How can we claim to be everybody's one-stop shop for news, reviews and previews if we can't get Chris Pratt on the phone to talk about Dune 2?
Time to reassess Dune 2.
A video game I'm fairly sure he doesn't even fucking know exists. Because he's about 12. I'm so upset. I'm going to phone him later and have a go at him. Like, you fucking ruined that.
You ruined your chance of being on... The new Game Week.
I've been planning that all night.
Not me. I'll just subtly introduce. You've been waiting to bring up Dune and Dune 2. Which Dune did you watch?
No, it's David Lynch's Dune. It's the one on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's like, I don't know which cut it is, but seems like the best one because I remember watching one a while back where there wasn't any voiceover for the entire fucking film.
Right.
Until about an hour and a half in, and all of a sudden they've got a montage with a voiceover, and it was like the most jarring thing. And I was like, the fucking film has like changed genre 2/3 in just to get them over a bit. But in the version that me and Alice watched the other day, it was just, it wasn't like that. There was actually like Virginia Madsen actually sort of narrating it all the way through.
Right.
Which I find fucking, what I love about that film is, firstly, it's shite.
Right. Uh-huh.
Let's not beat about the bush. It's a terrible. I know it's got its fans, but like, they're demented, right? Virginia Madsen is the first person you see in that film. She fades up in the star field, and she's like giving you the lore dump about, like, you know, my father's the emperor, and Arrakis is where we get the petrol from, right? And then fucking, it looks like she's going to be like quite a major character in the whole thing. She's not in the film.
Oh, right.
She's not in the fucking film. She's like, she's in it as in like, she's in like the background of a couple of scenes. Like she's standing there while the Emperor has an argument with a giant fucking space baby. But she's not in the film in the way that fucking, in the way that Carrie Fisher's in the film, you know?
Wait, is Carrie Fisher in June?
No, I'm saying, no. I'm just...
Oh, right. Oh, you mean the way that she's... Right, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, the way that she's in, like, Star Wars.
Star Wars,
no, she's not getting really confused there. Yeah, Carrie Fisher, she's in... She plays fucking Baron Harkonnen. But her character's not in the fucking film.
And sometimes that happens, though. Sometimes that... I mean, I can't think of any examples right now, but that's...
Exactly. You can't, because it doesn't happen. It's happened once. It's fucking June. By acclaimed, fucking celebrated, fucking beloved auteur director David fucking Lynch.
Aye, but look,
that guy. That's like when Paul McCartney wrote that fucking song after 9/11, and everyone was like, "This is terrible, Paul."
I don't remember that. Presumably because it was terrible.
Yeah, it was called Freedom, and the chorus went, "I will fight for my right for freedom," and that's why you can't remember it, because who's going to listen to that more than fucking once?
It was so funny.
I remember watching the 9/11 neoliberal concert afterwards, right? I can't remember. McCartney was giving it this big, overwrite this song, and he's not from Birmingham. overwrite this song about freedom.
Mother Mary.
And it was this big build-up, and he got fucking... And he called all the people back on. Mm-hmm. You know, fucking Bon Jovi, and, like, bizarrely, Richard Gere was there. And he called all the people who'd been on the stage up until that point back on to sing this final number that he'd written. And he'd spent all week, and he was like, this is going to be, like, Paul McCartney's fucking anthem for freedom. And everyone's going to remember it, and it's going to heal the fucking... It's going to align the stars and whatever. And he did it. And John Bon Jovi looked embarrassed to be standing next to him.
Is it like that? Mind that Bon Jovi video? It's not a Bon Jovi video. The video of Bon Jovi at a wedding. The band starts singing Living in a Prayer, and the singer keeps trying to get him up.
Yeah, he's like, oh, nah, man, Paul McCartney fucking got me with this patter before. I'm not... I was watching it with my mate John, and John was like, brand new Paul McCartney number, which if you imagine in 2001 would have been quite a big deal, you know.
It's not as big a deal as when he did a song about Destiny. Mind that.
That one was better. The song he wrote, the anthem he wrote in an attempt to heal civilization after a great rift. Was terrible, but the one he did for the fucking video game about Peter Dinklage floating about, that was a banger. It wasn't a banger, but it was better than... Can you imagine Paul McCartney playing Destiny as well? I just really love getting headshots. You know, the thing I love...
He's playing online with Noddy Holder.
The thing I love about Bungie is that they put the crosshair not in the centre of the screen, but a little bit down. Somebody sat and explained that to me once. Bungie do this amazing thing with a crosshair. If you look, it's not right in the centre of the screen. It's doing a wee bit.
I mean, it's obviously a creative decision.
I imagine Paul McCartney having that explained to him. Right, so the crosshair is a little bit down, right? I suppose I should get that into the song. Ringo, where's my pencils?
I've been playing Silent Hill 2. You're right, I don't feel in any way comfortable talking about video games.
This is the sleep deprivation episode, but also, like, we are so far down the rabbit hole now. We're 52 minutes in, we've not spoken about a video game beyond, like, saying a title and then having an existential panic.
We had a big chat about Destiny. June 1 and 2.
9/11. This one can't go out, man. I was planning to talk about... I'll tell you the list of games I was planning to try and work into conversation. Right? Uh-huh. I'm sure you had some in your head as well. Yesterday Origins and Black Sad, two sort of modern point-and-click adventure games by the same studio, a Spanish studio. Mm-hmm. And I was going to talk about how 6 out of 10 adventure games are a thing I really love.
Oh, right, okay.
I was going to talk about how the paradox of how, like, a really good 6 out of 10 is often better than an iffy 8.
It's because it's more niche, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do point-and-clicks look like now? Was there any sort of attempt to branch out, or is it just...
It's weird, man, because they kind of, like, they had that resurgence with the Telltale stuff, but mm-hmm. I would say that, like, I would argue that a Telltale style game has become its own thing, like its own branch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got Life is Strange and all that. Funnily enough, we went through Tell Me Why a couple of days ago, and that was really good as well. The adventure games are weird now because they've sort of tried to streamline that kind of try everything with everything sort of, you know. And they've all got Sherlock Mind Palace shit in them now, where you don't just collect objects, you collect thoughts.
Oh, and right, okay.
You have to join them up. Like, the Sherlock Holmes games and Black Sad and Yesterday Origins does shit like that as well.
You see, like, I played Thimbleweed Park last year.
Yeah.
The Ron Gilbert one. And
Yeah. That's cracking.
I did enjoy it.
It's like, sort of like a Twin Peaksy, X-Filesy sort of vibe.
Twin Peaksy, X-Filesy, Maniac Mansion type thing. Mm. That had... they just basically built a hint system into the game where you could go to the phone and ask for hints. But the hints were good because it wasn't just like... It wasn't like going to a walkthrough where a walkthrough just tells you. It's like, it tells you what to look at. Go and look at this. Go and ask this question. Go and... which I kind of appreciated because you still get... There's always that bullshit of just wandering about going, will I try this? Will I try... Because so much of those old point-and-click games, it's like the answer to the solution is a fucking pun rather than like anything... logical.
Yeah.
That resurgence has been kind of interesting because it's like, how do we make something that remains within that tradition, but also how do we make it not unbearable?
Yeah.
But one of the things that Thimbleweed Park did nicely as well is it had little sort of vignettes. So you get to a certain point in the action and it would cut away to like a sort of mini version, like with just a couple of puzzles in it and an extra bit of story.
I really like that about it. I played Thimbleweed Park for a wee bit. I haven't completed it, but I got it on the Switch, and it was one of these sort of like the 9 million things I've got on the Switch on a sale.
Yeah.
And I just like got the Switch memory card just full of shite that I'm never going to play. It's just there.
Yeah.
I often wonder if, like, you know, when I'm away, my kids might go, "Yeah, oh, he's got about 200 Switch games, belter. Who's getting them?"
Yeah, totally.
So you're talking about a really competent Ron Gilbert sort of project.
Yeah.
Which has sort of artistic merit and, you know, you can sort of talk about it on a, dare I say it, intellectual level, right? So what I love about Black Sad and Yesterday Origins, this particular studio, can't remember what they're called, they're a Spanish studio.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that they're, like, shit games at all. I really enjoy them, like, for what they are. But they are so fucking... Firstly, Yesterday Origins is so desperate to be a Broken Sword game. It's literally, set in Paris, an American guy and his French girlfriend... who looks exactly like Nico does in Broken Sword, can see the Eiffel Tower in the opening scene and shit like that, right? It's so, like, these guys have basically gone, fucking, I love Broken Sword. Why aren't they making that anymore? We should fucking do that. And, but they are making Broken Sword. Broken Sword 5 came out in, like, 2016.
It's just a horrible, like, state of trying to make anything in a world where everybody's making something, where it's like, instead of trying to do something... different, you need something that evokes something that they liked. If you don't have an IP to capitalize on, you then you just need to make something that's, you know,
put the Eiffel Tower in the background so you get all the journals going, it's just not a Broken Sword. I was trying to sort of think about something that I might talk about to you when we recorded this, was playing this for the last few days. I thought, these are fucking great. I really like how they're kind of shite, but they're really dear to me. Like, cause I grew up playing Broken Sword. And,
yeah.
And but off the back of Broken Sword, which is a really good series, mm-hmm. that is like one of the crown jewels of that whole genre, everything else is kind of a bit ropey.
Right.
Like, you've got your Broken Swords, your Monkey Islands, you know, the things that Tim Schafer and mm-hmm. Ron Gilbert were involved with, the LucasArts stuff. And then everything else is just kind of trying to, as you say, evoke that.
Yeah.
But it's never quite as good. But yeah, Yesterday Origins is the closest thing you can get to a Broken Sword game without it actually being a Broken Sword game. And I fucking love it. And that's basically everything I wanted to say to you. And we're an hour and 10 minutes in. So...
A lot of this is via streaming, but last year I played Resident Evil 1-4.
Yeah.
And then I played Silent Hill, and I'm on Silent Hill 2 just now. Something that I really, really took for granted, and obviously that it's been like 20 odd years since I played any of those older games, that it's like, I know this is going to be a really obvious statement for a lot of people, but like the Resident Evil games are like primarily puzzle games, quite kind of patient, empty, not too action-based puzzle games where you're just kind of and I suddenly really clicked with them in a way that I was like, I love this so much.
You've played Resi 2 Remake, haven't you?
Yes.
That was like the first Resi game I'd properly got into.
It's brilliant. I played that last year as well. That's very, very good. Mm-hmm. But no, like those old ones, it's like obviously just because of the way it's like you know, all your screens are pre-rendered, so there's no camera moves or anything like that. It's all and like you've got a finite amount of ammo, but you've also got a finite amount of enemies, and obviously the horror comes from just like nothing happening for ages and then, you know, waiting till you're comfortable and then throwing things at you. And it's just, I'd never wanted to be the person that laments the loss of particular things from old games, because obviously just things move on and people do new things and everything. But like, there's something about like Resident Evil 1 especially.
Yeah.
It's like wondering about that quiet old house where not much is, you know, not much is going on, but every so often something horrible pops out of you. Even though at its time it's like really tense and genuinely throws a lot of scares at you, it's also a really warm, comfortable, lovely little game. Mm.
You're right, though, because I don't think it is sort of... I don't think there's anything wrong with hoping that style of game never goes away or even pining for it, because like when you're talking about something like the way old Resident Evil games are, where every sort of room is a fixed camera angle, so like the director of that game is literally controlling what the player can see, which is something that game developers tend to give up in the 3D era, you know. In the new Resident Evil games, in the first-person ones, they have to be a lot cleverer about how they hide things from you and where they sit. And it's like, it's no less clever, but it's like, you cannot legislate for where the fucking player is pointing the camera.
Yeah, exactly. I guess there's a sort of that increasing challenge of like you have to make the player feel like they've figured things out and they're in control, and which gets... Oddly, it probably gets more harder the more control they give the player, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can't even think of any examples about stuff like that. But like when you notice, when you manage to peek behind the curtain on how like a Skyrim-style RPG or something is like actually directing you through a scene.
Yeah.
And you think, oh shit, they've done psychology on me here and they know I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, how the fuck did they know I was going to do that? Or they just fucking knew.
Because we're all massively predictable.
If you go back, you probably find that you didn't have any other choice. But like, you've got this constant illusion of choice where there's none there, and you've got little bits of suggestion making you do things. And but yeah, it's fucking, like, games are actually magic.
No, they are, they are.
I tell you what, as people who make sort of things for our jobs or whatever, I really love having video games as a thing there where, like, I don't really know how that works. I don't know how they do it. Like, I know basically how they make films, how they make telly, how they make everything else that I like.
Yeah.
I know how a guy fucking writes a book.
Yeah. No, totally. And no, I completely agree. Like, every other thing, you're like, okay, I know how you... Yeah.
Yeah.
I can look at a picture and be like, he's doing that. He did. But yeah, video games are definitely like... when it comes to things like engines and...
I love how it's like the last thing left for me that has... I have no fucking idea how you've managed this sort of magic to it. Because like anytime somebody does something in a film, you're like, I know how you did that.
Yeah.
I mean, usually it's just that you fucking pointed the money holes at ILM. But yeah, games are just the... And I think that's why it feels like it's still the frontier. It feels like it's still where films were like in the 20s and 30s, where nobody knows what anyone's going to fucking do with this thing next.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting, like, you don't realise, you know, a few years down the line, you'll be able to look back at this period and be like, okay, yeah, I can see games are going in this direction, or... You know, and then yeah, they changed and they went in another direction. It's kind of like, I mean, I guess people understand it a lot more now, but it's like, it's so funny to think back to times like the 90s when games moved to CD-ROMs and everybody just assumed that games were very, very slowly becoming like films.
Yeah.
Like there was a sort of period in games where it was just like, everyone was like, right, games are just very definitely going to eventually become interactive films. Then you got loads of shite FMV games.
Yeah.
And then somebody at some point went, no.
Yeah, he went, no, there's just like, there's one guy called Lewis who in about 25 years will be the last guy that loves this stuff. But hi, Lewis. I remember there's a game called The Black Dahlia, an FMV CD-ROM game that came on like 9 fucking discs or something.
9 CDs, but the game itself was about 3 hours long.
Yeah. And it was just the kind of thing where you're in a scene and you click about it and everything you click on just triggers a video, mm-hmm, with Christopher Walken in or whatever. And like, I remember the Black Dahlia had, or it was either this or it was the X-Files game, but on the back it boasted that the characters had been filmed against green screen and placed into CGI environments that rival some films' actual sets. That was the wording.
Some films.
It's a bold claim.
It's like the press quote on Star Trek First Contact, one of the 10 best sci-fi films of the year. That's on there. Go pick up the DVD. It's on there.
In a year where, I mean, for all we know, one of them would have been like Emmanuel in Space or whatever.
Yeah. With the streaming and everything that I've been doing, I think I've played more games in the last year than I have for ages.
Yeah.
But it's just because I'm allowing a space in my life for them again. It's been nice.
It became part of my morning routine for a while that I would fucking watch you stream for about 15 minutes while I made my tea and that.
And then go,
I never watched the whole thing, no, obviously. That's fair enough. But no, I really like that wee community you've got and the Discord. And Jess, who sort of keeps everything sort of ticking over.
Jess has basically become the community manager. I mean,
yeah,
the Discord that we have on the Twitch, or we had attached, to, like a lot of people in the Twitch asked to set up a Discord because the people were making pals in the Twitch, basically.
Yeah, and it's like, Richie, we're only able to snatch wee snippets of conversation when you're fucking playing Resi 2.
But a couple of weeks ago, I did say to Jess, I was like, right, I'm changing the Discord name because it's really embarrassing that the Discord is about me. It's like all these people are getting together to talk. They're not getting together to talk about me. They're just here because they were on this.
Yeah.
So we changed the name of the Discord.
But you're merely the flashpoint around which friendships form.
Basically.
I mean, it's kind of about you. They probably, you know, do you think that there will ever be somebody who gets married because of you? Like, well, we met in Ritchie Morgan's Resident Evil stream. And fair play to him, he became a minister so he could do the ceremony.
We were getting bored because nothing was happening in Luigi's Mansion. And so we started sexting each other. I mean, 2020 is obviously the year that everybody started streaming.
Mm.
But were you
doing that a wee bit before then?
Yeah, well, I did Dark Souls a couple of years ago, which became a thing. And then when I finished Dark Souls, I didn't really go back because nothing was ever really going to match.
Mm.
It was Resident Evil 2, the remake, basically. Mm. Owen gave... I said, can I borrow it? I said, you can only borrow it if you stream it because I think it'll be a good stream. So I did it and it was good. And then it sort of turned into, in lockdown, I was like, I need something to get me out of bed in the morning.
Mm.
So I was like, I'll do a stream every morning at 9. And it's worked. It's given my entire day structure. But also,
yeah,
when I come out of them, I'm in quite a good mood as well. So generally, the whole thing's been...
You've uplived it. You're like, you've hung about with a bunch of people who are nice to you, right? Yeah, so it's mostly. Genuinely. Like, you know, but like being in the streams and being in the chat and everyone's like... I mean, everyone's taking the piss about you being shy to it or whatever, but like in the most affectionate way possible, which is what you want.
Yeah.
Which is what you want, because like... People can often really misjudge the level of sort of stranger familiarity. You end up in a place where you're just like, I think I'm being mugged off, but I don't think they mean to mug me off. But if I act like they've mugged me off, I'm going to look like a real dickhead. But, you know.
It's so funny, actually. I sometimes forget that people can see me leaning over and reading the comments. And it's like you can tell
you're doing your wee farts as well.
You can tell when I've read a stinker, because I'll look over and go, "What?" and then just go back to the game and not say anything.
Yeah, for the benefit of those listening, Richie made a sort of wee gentle grimace, and then.
But no, I think the maddest thing about the streams is like comes back to the relationship of being like a functioning adult who wants to play video games.
Yeah.
Who wants to play a lot of video games and just doesn't have the time. And it's like, the Metal Gear Solid series is something I've always wanted to play, but always just assumed it's like, well, that's passed me by. It's never going to happen. Turns out all you have to do is just play it. You know, you just switch it on and you play it, and then at some point it stops. Yeah. Not even after a very long time. And then you're like, there you go, you've just played that game you've always wanted to play. I mean, I feel like there's a deeper lesson to learn here about things you've always wanted to do. The trick is just to do it one day. Then you've done it.
Yeah.
One of the good things about the streams as well is like, if I ever get stuck in a game, I can't switch it off. I have to keep going.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will keep
Yeah, you're
going.
Locked in. Yeah, you're like, you're just locked in. You can't even do that thing where people are just like, oh, I'm not really up for fucking...
The amount of games that I've been like, I would have switched off and walked away from, but I've had to see through. But it's always a good feeling.
But then you've got Owen Mega Gamezilla sitting in the chat and you can't let him down.
Yeah, exactly. There's two.
You can't let Andy Hamilton down. You can't let Jess down. You can't, like, you're just like, these aren't just like entities who exist in chat. They're like, these are like real flesh and blood people. You know these people.
I mustn't let them down.
You can't let it's like letting down family, you know. It's like
I've it's got, like cancelling your own TV series and two episodes before the end.
Yeah.
I mean
you don't need that fucking metaphor, because like between the two of us, we've cancelled a lot of podcasts.
That's true. But there you go. Yeah, if there's any game that you've always wanted to play, just put it on.
Yeah,
it's my positive message.
That's a really beautiful life lesson. I think that has a lot of transferable lessons there. I
just
think.
Do it, just bang it on.
I think we're going to leave it there. This will go down in game. I was going to say go down in game wank history, but I had to stop myself because that's not a thing.
You might have to move it about. Edit. You might have to edit it.
I don't like editing stuff, which is a weird. sort.
Honest to God, see the amount of times I'll step out of my office into the living room.
Yeah.
And Leah's like, you're right. And I'll be like, I fucking hate editing.
Yeah.
I don't really. I do enjoy it, but there are days.
Yeah. There are, like, I think when it's a particularly, like, hard one and it's like you've just done three, like, 16-hour days on something and it's still not there.
Yeah.
And you feel like you are a fucking chuck the computer and yourself into the road. But, like, you know. It's a living, but yeah, no, I think what is wonderful about this episode is that for the first hour, it was looking like we were
going to delete episode.
You know, on a metaphysical level, we were on really shaky ground spiritually if we did actually start talking about video games. Mm-hmm. And then we just pushed through with Thimbleweed Park, and
we did it.
We got there eventually. So unfortunately, there's never going to be the Game Wank episode that isn't about video games at all, apart from last month's one. Danny's already covered it for us, actually. Oh, yeah. So we don't need to worry about it.
Of course.
Right. This edition of Game Wank was brought to you by Virginia Madsen and international terrorism.
Did we mention that you were eating a topic, or was that just...
I think I mentioned it once or twice, because I was well into that topic. It's my last one. I bought a 4-pack about a week ago.
I'm looking at your desk, and are those coasters, or those two chocolate biscuits?
That is two chocolate hobnobs. I'm saving for later. That's a good eye you've got. That's a good eye you've got for hobnobs.
Just bought a biscuit from, like, I don't know how many hundred miles away you are, but you've hidden them as well.
You look at my fucking biscuits. I put them under the camera where you can't see them.
I also enjoy that, you know, you're showing some strength there, having two hobnobs just sitting on your desk like that.
they're getting fucking scranned as soon as we're done. Before we wrap up, right? You'll get a chance for closing remarks as well, don't worry. Hobnobs, right? Me and my partner got into a silent misunderstanding in Tesco the other day, where, like, every time we're in Tesco, we get this granny pack of biscuits. You know the four columns? You got your column of bourbons and your malt milks and your custard creams your the other one, nice biscuits, right? Or nice biscuits. Nice biscuits. My partner thought Lego Ninjago for a long time. She thought it was called Ninjago, right? She's behind me playing Skyrim and she's fucking raging. We had this really silent misunderstanding where I was trying to gesture to her at the other end of the aisle. What if instead of the granny pack of the four barrels of assorted crisp, we just get one big pack of custard creams? I was sort of gesturing to the custard cream like, how about like 50 custard creams instead of... And she was standing there with this very tube of chocolate hobnobs looking at me. And what I was saying, like, let's not get the granny pack, let's get the custard creams. But what she thought I was saying was, get the fucking chocolate hobnobs away. What about a job lot of own brand custard creams? Because she gave me a look like, are you fucking mental? And it took us like a solid day to figure it out.
Unpacking the shop and coming and throwing the custard creams at you. There's your fucking biscuits.
There's your fucking custard creams. Fucking
Alice can't hear me, can she?
She can't hear you, she can hear me.
That poor woman.
You what, sorry? Oh, it's Dragon Age, not Skyrim. I've got to issue a
Dragon Age.
I'm not sure if that's better. That's me done, Mr. Speaker.
I don't have any biscuit stories. I'm sorry.
I really enjoy this, Richie. I've got to say, I really enjoy doing it. Even if we weren't publishing it, I'd enjoy it because, in fact, I'd probably enjoy it more. We've been watching a program called Prime Japan, which is on Amazon Prime, and I can't figure out if it's called Prime Japan because it's on Amazon Prime and it's about Japan, or, you know, but it ends with this song, which is called Lucky Me by a guy called Roger Webb, and it's at the end of every episode. And this documentary is amazing. You should watch it, right? If you're,
what's that about?
It's about a guy cutting about Japan, an American actor who lives in Japan. And it's just about Japanese culture, food culture, confectionery culture, just all these different facets of life.
Oh, okay.
And he's like your conduit of understanding as the viewer. He's like, you know, he's experiencing things and visiting temples. And then it cuts to like a voiceover sort of documentary with interviews with craftspeople and stuff like that. Oh, it's really brilliant. And if you're stuck in the house like everyone is and you're pining to maybe sort of something that is transportive, I would definitely recommend watching Prime Japan.
Okay.
But it ends with this wonderful song called Lucky Me, and it's crooned at the end of every episode. And I thought if we could afford it, which we can, I would absolutely just make it the new theme tune for Oh, for Game Wank, because it reminds me of how I feel about our friendship, Richie.
Nice.
It's true.
For anyone listening, he had to turn away to say that.
It's true. I was saying something nice, so I had to close my eyes and turn out. Because I had to break through generations of toxic masculinity in order to say it.
That was like Leah, my partner. I can just say her name now. Leah. She discovered a tell that I have. I'm a terrible liar, basically. And we were sitting the other night, and she was like, "Am I your best friend?" And I looked at her like that and went, "Yeah."
Don't describe the tell for the listeners, because Otherwise you're gonna fuck yourself in professional life. See, and everything.
But. I can't do it intentionally. That's the worst thing. But it was like, she was like, "You're lying, and you're doing it. You're lying right now." So every time I lie about something, she's like, "You did it again." God.
What stuff do you lie about on a daily basis?
Oh, I mean, just it's like, nothing like, you know,
like whether or not you're like happy to do the dishes or whatever.
Aye. Stuff like that. Like, aye.
So, aye, it's fine. It's
aye. Just things like that. But it's usually questions like, "Am I your best friend?"
That's a fucking evil question. That's genius. It's incredible.
And the funny thing is, I said it back to her. I was like, "Am I your best friend?" She's like, "No."
So not only was it like, it's not even that you gave the wrong answer, it's the fact that you thought you were being quizzed, yeah. You thought you were being tested.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were being tested, but knowing the way you thought. It's fucking devious. There's so many layers to that.
I know.
Yeah, you're fucked. She's got you there. Honestly, it sounds like you live with someone who is fucking 10 million miles ahead of you in any given situation. That's
usually the case. Most situations.
Like, she's playing fucking 3D chess and you're playing fucking... Guess who? You're playing fucking snakes and ladders.
Screwball scramble.
She's playing fucking Mahjong or something. You're like, "I'm on a snake." "I'm on a snake, I have to go back then." "Landed on a snake. If you land in the middle of a snake, is it, if, do you have to go down in the middle?" "Oh no, it's a seed there, oh no."
Playing Trivial Pursuit, but demanding that we only do the entertainment questions.
You know that time I played fucking Trivial Pursuit on a Zoom for charity?
Oh, aye.
And I kept just getting fucking sport questions every single time. Because in that edition of Trivial Pursuit, because it was like from 2001 or something, they had bundled sport with video games. And I was like, esports wasn't even a thing then, was it? But yeah. So I just embarrassed myself in front of, you know, like...
sports.
The guy who played the dad in Shameless. Oh, was pissed out of his mind and just being very problematic. But just better not libel anyone. But it was entertaining for me. Anyway, we better leave it there.
Aye.
Because it's an hour and 42 minutes now and we've talked about precisely one video game with any great.
I know.
So we talked about Thimbleweed Park and Virginia Madsen not being in Dune. And
in Dune 2.
I tell you what, Danny would have had stuff to say about that conversation.
Aye. But Virginia Madsen, aye.
He is the only reason I actually know who she is, I'll be honest. No. Because of him going on and on about her and me going, "Who is Virginia Madsen?" "Oh, it's all right, she was in..." good old Danny. We have to get him back on one day because he was good. Got a lot of feedback about that episode. Anyway, thanks very much for listening, and
you're welcome.
We'll be back next.
Sorry,
we'll be back. We'll be back next month.
I thought you said next week. What?
So remember to come back next month for your one-stop shop.
One-stop shop for one game.
One-stop shop for...
30 seconds of chat about one game.
One-stop shop for 30 seconds about Thimbleweed Park. With an hour of preamble about 9/11. Right. I will see you later.
Bye.
When we're apart, it makes me blue. It almost breaks my heart in two. That's why I tell myself how lucky I must be. Lucky, lucky me when I found you. Lucky, lucky me when I found you.